Please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. As you're turning there, I am grateful that we have this understanding amongst us that this is not a time where I am performing for you, but this is a time where we as a church are seeking to understand God's Word together. I know that many times we have expectations upon our preachers and upon our pastors, and we expect them to perform, and we expect them to come up with something flourishing and great. And, you know, if there is any flourishing, if there is any greatness, may that be totally of the Lord. May the Lord be seen through these things, through these times. Ephesians chapter 5, last week, we noticed this theme of light and darkness, and we are called to walk as children of light. We see that in verse 8. We saw that mission. That is our mission. That is our purpose and goal. Walk as children of light. We saw why that is important, because this world is full of darkness, and it needs the light of God's glory to shine upon it. And you know what? We are reflectors of God's glory. We are reflectors of Christ's light. In verse 14, the Apostle Paul, issuing a word of admonishment, of warning, he says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." A powerful message of hope for those that are in darkness. It's a call to awake those who are asleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Then we come to a series of verses, a series of commands, where the Apostle Paul wants us to do exactly that. Wake up, pay attention, and live out what God has called you to be. Now, before we go there, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to review something with you. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world," listen to this, "that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Go down to verse 12. "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." Okay, that is in Ephesians chapter 1. And we've studied that. Apostle Paul has established this foundation, and that God has chosen us in him that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Now, that's your calling, church. That's who you are to be. Holy and blameless and to the praise of his glory. And you can only be that in the grace of God. It's God's grace that allows that to happen. It's God's grace that, notice, it's God that does the choosing there. All God's purposes in us is to bring him praise and glory, and we accomplish that by a blameless life, a holy life. And if you've been with us for any extended amount of time, you've noticed that the reoccurring theme is live according to this calling. Chapter 4, verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Okay, so he's reminding us, you need to be walking worthy. Chapter 4, verse 22, 23, and 24, "You put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man." And I know, I don't know if you think this, but I sometimes think this, after week after week of preaching from these passages, I feel like it's just, again, a reminder, pay attention to your life. Take care of the sin. It should be gone. You need to deal with the sin in your life and walk in holiness. And it just seems to be a reoccurring theme in these verses. Let's remember, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus. Again, first-generation Christians. They live in a very, very perverted society, full of idolatry, full of immorality. And their lives were steeped in that. And now God has graciously saved them, but how do they live? They understand the glorious gospel, but how does that affect their lives? And so Paul is now putting meat to that, helping them to understand what that means. So here is our encouragement for us today, because many of us may look at these truths and say, I know that. I've heard that before. I know I'm supposed to live a holy life. Well, then you need to take this as a good checkpoint, a good reminder. How are you doing with what you know? Yes, you know you're to be living a holy life. Are you? God's word is bringing up little topics and little and different things in different times and reminding us, how are you doing in this area? How are you doing with anger? How are you doing with honesty and truth and stealing and communication? How are you doing? All right, so back to chapter 5. Walk as children of light. Verse 15, then, calls us to pay attention. Verse 15 says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, in the original language, and you don't see this in the English, but in the original language, fools and wise, really, they have the same word, same root word. Fool just has a negative preceding it. You see, the call here is that we are to be wise, taking what we know and using it skillfully in our lives to accomplish its intended purposes. We are to refrain from being unwise. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought of some different things in our lives today. You know, think of as parents, we want our children to be good students in school. Or if you're in college, you want to be a good student in school, right? Now, what is the wise and prudent thing to do if you are to be a good student? Well, you do your homework. You listen to the teacher when they're speaking. You attend the classes. All right? And you could go on and on the list. I mean, the parents, you probably have sat down with your kids and gone over this. This is wise. This is wisdom. Now, on the flip side, what would be a foolish approach? Yes, I am a student. I am to be a good student. But the foolish approach is to not apply what is wise, to skip the classes, to goof off in class and not listen, to leave the homework at school and not bring it home. Let's look at another example, maybe applied a little bit or little bigger audience. Work. You are to be a good worker. Okay, what does that mean? Well, you go in and you punch in on time. You take the tasks that are before you and do them to the best of your ability with the skill and ability that you have. You operate with kindness to your fellow employees. You seek to please the Lord in what you do. A foolish approach would be show up when you want to show up. A foolish approach would be to expect everything from the boss and allow him to expect nothing of you. You see how foolish it is? It's really ridiculous when we consider these things. We know what is wise. How about driving? I think it was 2 years ago, I taught my niece to drive. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But it, you know, what really is taking place there is you are teaching the importance of applying wisdom. Think about the ramifications of a foolish drive. Foolish drive would mean that you are not applying the rules of the road. You drive on the wrong side. It means that you don't apply the laws, and so you're on the phone or you're texting or whatever it might be. It's really foolishness, isn't it? Why does it seem so foolish? It's because we know what's right, right? We know what is right. You see, our role as parents, we train our children because they grow up with this the immaturity, what we could maybe consider foolishness of a child, because they don't understand these things. We are to train them so that they know wisdom. But listen, those of you that hear and understanding what I'm saying, you understand what is wise, and you are expected to do it. And when you do not do what is wise, you are considered a fool, a foolish one. So back to the text, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools as is what, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Remembering the context, walk as children of light. Now pay attention to your walk. Don't be a fool and haphazardly approach this Christian life. Listen, we are to be on call, paying attention to our walk 24/7. We have been called to walk as children of light. We have been called to be blameless and holy and to bring praise to the glory of God. And that doesn't happen part-time. Listen, we need to look attentively to our steps. Watch your way. And if nothing else, a series of messages should bring that to the light. The importance of watching your steps and pay attention to the way you're going. Because if you do not, it is foolish. But God's word gives you everything you need to be wise. Why do you do this? Why? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you agree that the days are evil? Okay, so what is God saying here? There should be a sense of urgency for us to walk the right walk, because our day is certainly against us. Redeeming the time, a phrase that means to buy back the time. The marketplace. You have the picture of the marketplace, and a typical scene would be a slave in the marketplace, and you buy them back, you pay the ransom for them. And so in other words, here's the point. Time is of the essence. And you and I don't know how much time we have left. We don't know when we will die. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. But the world remains evil, and it is continuing in that direction. And so the call is, pay attention to your walk. Pay attention. Don't just haphazardly say, I'm a Christian, and just live how you want. I think you'd agree with me that if that is your perspective, then you need to check whether you truly are a child of His. A child of God is going to look attentively to His walk. Verse 17 carries on this very similar theme. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, that's why I kind of went over what we went over at the beginning. What is the will of the Lord? What is the God's will for you? How many of us have asked ourselves that question? How many young people may be asking that question right now? do not be unwise. And this is a different word. This is not the same word that is used in the previous verse, but this is a word that means senseless. Do not be walking around without using your mind. Pay attention. Be understanding of the Lord's will for your life. So we have, be attentive to your walk. Be understanding of God's will. Be understanding of God's will. Be holy and blameless. There may be some of you that feel like that is hampering to your life. You know, I would agree, maybe there was some point when I was a young man and wanted to do different things and live. You know, it could be hampering to, for some preacher to come and tell me, you need to be holy, Josh. You need to be blameless. Because your life is to be lived for the praise and honor and glory of God. You know what? Shed that thought. Put it behind you. Because to live for God is not hampering. It is freeing. Because if you truly are a child of God, then a child of God is going to want, desire, and thrive in a life that is lived for the glory of God. Understand God's will, and therefore walk in it. Be attentive to your walk. Be understanding of God's will. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What I'm giving to you is a series of commands. We've looked at two of them already. The third is found in the beginning part of verse 18. And be not drunk with wine. At first read, this seems like it doesn't quite fit. At first read, it kind of seems like Paul is kind of interjecting this thought of drunkenness and wine into a very spiritual conversation. Quote unquote spiritual. But I think there's a powerful meaning here that we need to grasp. First of all, the very practical reasoning behind his argument is the danger and debauchery of drunkenness. The Ephesians probably were very well aware of this. Drunkenness was probably had a very prevalent effect in the culture, as it does in ours. And the Apostle Paul issuing this command, do not be drunk with wine. This is a passive verb. In other words, do not allow wine to have its way with you, to cause you to be drunken, intoxicated, and out of control. Listen, God's word speaks very clearly against drunkenness. I don't know where you guys are at in regards to the use of alcohol. And you're going to sit back and say, uh-oh, here he goes. Listen, I'm going to tell you, God's word speaks very clearly against drunkenness. Very clearly. And if that is a way of your life, if that is something that you have allowed into your life, even if it is monthly or annually or whatever it is, drunkenness is not to be a part of the child of God. If you look at the book of Proverbs, and I know many of you are sitting there saying, why is he going over this? Well, it's in God's word, okay? And that's what we study here. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Do you hear that? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you want to look further on this subject, Proverbs chapter 23 has a lot to say about the power of strong drink in a person. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That is a term there whereof is dissoluteness. It is this idea of not having control, overindulging in physical pleasures in a way that is considered immoral or harmful. In my study, I found it interesting that a similar word is used in the story of the prodigal son. We know the story of the prodigal son. We understand that he left his father, taking his inheritance. And it says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 15, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." That's the word that's used to describe drunkenness. And I want you to notice God's word is speaking clearly against drunkenness. Now, the second part of this verse is very interesting. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We're not going to have time to cover all of this today. I'm going to leave you hanging, okay? But let me just give you these words. Remember your calling. Be attentive to your walk. Be understanding of God's will. He wants you to be holy and blameless. He has called you out to the praise of His glory. Do not allow drunkenness to be a part of your life, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, a lot of things happen at night. A lot of things will happen in darkness. A lot of things happen under that cover where there is no light. But listen, we have been given the light. And we are to walk as children of the light in a dark world. And we're going to continue to learn what that means and what that looks like in the incredible presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. And I wish we could continue in our time together today, but we're going to wrap it up by closing with these words from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, he says this, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." Listen, if you've been a slumbering believer, wake up! Wake up! It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Listen, church, you could take this message in one of two ways. It could be an ouch, I've got things to change. God's pointing his finger and it's digging deep into your chest, and there needs to be some things cast off. You need to pay attention to your walk. It also could be, praise God, I've been called to be holy and blameless and to the praise of his glory. I know what my purpose is. And by God's grace, I'm seeking to walk therein. Listen, dear church, I praise God for you. And I praise God for the things that he is doing in our midst. And I know that sometimes the messages from the Word of God will seem hard, but you know what? They seem hard to those who need it. And they are a blessing to those who are walking thereby, because they are an assurance that they are doing what is right. And I would encourage you, pay attention to your walk. Give heed to God's Word today. And you will know the blessing of walking in the light. God, it's your word, and I give you praise. God, take this, please, and use it. And God, minister in the hearts of your people. God, I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And I'm thankful, God, that it is so straightforward. Because, God, we can be hard-headed. We can be stubborn. We can be content and satisfied in our compromise. But, God, you cut right through. And I thank you for it. Oh, God, empower your people this week. Bless them in their obedience. Confront disobedience. Help us all, me included, Lord, to pay attention to how we're doing, how we're walking. In Jesus' name, amen.